When you hear the word missionary, what comes to mind? What image does that evoke for you? Missionary. Who do you see when you think about a missionary? Who do you see? Maybe like many people, you see that lonely couple in Africa living out of a hut. Or maybe you even see that kind of outgoing young male in the inner city working to curb violence. What do you see? How do you feel about mission? Are you afraid of it? Do you secretly hope, like I did, that God would never call you to be a missionary? Maybe you want to get in on mission, but you feel inadequate. Or you just don't know where to start. Maybe you've been on mission and you got burned out. Did you guys know that the rate of burnout for first-time missionaries is really high? Mission or missional is one of those words that's kind of a buzzword these days. It's one of those words when we hear it, we say, yeah, we want to be that, but we don't quite know what it means. Kind of like when we go into the grocery store and we see all-natural foods. We're like, yeah, I want that, the all-natural foods. That sounds good to me, but we aren't quite sure what it means. It sounds good, but it doesn't mean anything. And at some point when that word gets tacked on everything, like potato chips, in order to sell to the trend, it loses its meaning. So part of what we want to continue to do this morning is continue to paint a clearer picture of what mission is all about and what it looks like to get in on mission, and particularly how mission is grounded in God, grounded in who God is and what he's about. But before we do that, I want to tell you a parable this morning, a parable of three dads and three kids whose kid is becoming a part of the family business. So one dad wants his kid to do things for him. The dad has raised his kid and provided for her and given her things she couldn't get for herself. The dad has done his job, building the business from scratch and all, something the daughter could not do herself. But now he's retiring and it's his kid's job to keep everything going. It's something she does for her dad. She may even do it out of gratefulness in her heart for everything he's done. I did this for you, now you do this for me, the dad says. It's all up to her. The second dad wants to use his kid. He wants her to accomplish a greater purpose that the business makes possible. His kid is important to him, sure, but only in as much as she helps accomplish the purpose. She is instrumental, merely, a commodity, a thing to be used to get the job done, like a good lawnmower. He wants to use her. The third dad, however, wants neither to use his daughter or for her to do things for him. This dad wants his kid to share his heart, to become more like him, to love what he loves, to live like he lives. In fact, this dad's business, his mission, is an expression of who he is. And what he wants to do is to entrust his kid to be his representative in everything that she does, to become a participant in the life and the mission that's his. Friends, mission is not something that we go out and do. Mission is not the thing that God wants to use us to accomplish a greater purpose. We're not doing God a favor. We're not earning bonus points. We're not making up for all the bad things that we've ever done when we've gone out on mission. When we look at the scriptures and we see how God has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ, we see that mission is an expression of God's heart. It's who he is, who he's always been, what he's always done, what he is doing, and what he continues to do. Friends, the world is broken and torn and completely out of sorts. You know this. But this has always been the case, right? This is not a new phenomenon. It's always been this way. But God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ. And we are experiencing his reconciliation if we are in Christ. And he has entrusted us. He has entrusted us to be ambassadors of his reconciliation. Participants in new creation. Can we receive that today? This is happening in us and through us and around us. God is doing it, and he invites us to receive it and to get in on it. The mission is God's, and it's all about reconciliation. And reconciliation is all about the healing of the rupture. And we are gathered into it as his ambassadors. To be in Christ is to live a life on mission. If we are in Christ, we are gathered into God's mission of reconciliation. All of us, right here where we are. And this is what Paul is getting at in this letter to the Corinthians, particularly in chapter 5. This is what he's focusing in on. And as we look at this chapter, we remember that in 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to a group of Christians who, in large part, are completely puzzled by the way that he leads them. They don't get him. In fact, they're really disappointed by the way that he leads. He is not the leader that they had hoped for. He displays none of the qualities that they were impressed by. To them, Paul was just this suffering, failure-ridden, poorly skilled preacher. Surely this is not the guy who's the agent of God's salvation, they think. And they told Paul. They let him know that they thought this. So Paul is responding to them and saying, actually, let me tell you what God's salvation is all about. Let me tell you what a life transformed by him actually looks like. And so just to be clear, here in chapter 5, Paul isn't saying, and now I'm going to take some time to tell you about mission. But what Paul is doing is he's pointing to his foundation. He's pointing to the core reason for why he lives and acts and speaks the way that he does. He's casting vision for what a life looks like that's being transformed by an encounter with the risen Christ, with the intention that his readers would conform their lives. And this truth that Paul is unfolding here in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians isn't a minor detail in the gospel. It isn't one of those sideline kind of things. This is actually a main artery that runs from Genesis all the way to Revelation, revealing God's heart, pulling back the curtain on what God has always been doing, is doing, and will continue to do. So the basic message in chapter 5, in verses 11 through 21, is this. Paul says, I live and act the way I do because everything has changed in Christ. Everything has changed in Christ. New creatures, if we are in Christ. This is a break from the old life, and we have now entered a new reality characterized by a new way of seeing and a new way of living. A radical shift has occurred, Paul says. Death to the old way of self-interest. And this radical shift has everything to do with the reality that God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ. It has everything to do with the reality that God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ. So what is reconciliation all about? Reconciliation, in short, is about the healing of the rupture. The healing of the relational rupture, the separation, the tear that sin causes between us and God and us and one another that puts everything out of whack. Reconciliation, then, is how God is healing the brokenness. It's how he's healing the dysfunction in us and in the world around us and in how we relate to one another. You see, sin doesn't just have to do with people believing the wrong things or making bad moral decisions. If we start there, we're addressing the symptoms and not the cause. Sin has to do with why we are unable to relate to God rightly, why we are unable to choose God as the source of life. Sin means that we, with all of creation, are out of sorts, out of whack, out of alignment with our intended purpose, pointed toward the wrong ends. Creation was meant to find its source of life in God, and this relationship has been torn asunder, and we're looking for it in all the wrong places. Consequently, we are at war with God, and we're at war with one another, and this cannot be overcome in our own power. We're not just morally incompetent or stupid. We're dead, Paul says. It's like we're flying upside down, and nobody knows it. Up is down, and down is up. Have you noticed this rupture? Have you noticed this rupture? And I don't just mean the places where it's easy to notice. It's easy to become belligerent at the news. Have you noticed it in your world? In the people's lives around you, in your own life? These places where people are trying to overcome the rupture in their own power but are failing. These places where people continue to get caught in cycles of sin management and they're just continue to be stuck in the same junk. These places where people continue to go to the wrong things to cope for the hurt and their pain. These people who continue to pursue a life of more but keep feeling like their life is less and less and less and less. Have you seen this rupture? This separation, this rupture, this hostility needs healing. It doesn't need an accuser. It doesn't need someone with religious techniques. Creation needs reconciliation. Because the rupture cannot be overcome simply through harmonization. It cannot become overcome simply through compromise. The rupture doesn't get better because everyone decides to be nice and to play along and to do nice things for one another. Paul says that God healed this rupture. And he healed the rupture, this rupture that creates separation, by sending his son to become the rupture. This is what he's getting at in verse 21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Sending his son to become the rupture for us. By entering into and embracing the consequences of the rupture, Jesus made peace. He made shalom, that Hebrew word that encompasses the well-being of all things, that encompasses new creation. And this is why Paul is beside himself, why he's so incredulous when he starts talking about it. And he says, in Christ, new creation. Old, gone, new, here. This is why Christ has changed everything for Paul, why Christ's love controls him and it seems like he is out of his mind, why he can no longer see the world and live in the world from his old point of view. Reconciliation in Christ has refashioned everything for Paul. Reconciliation in Christ refashions everything for us, the way that we relate to God, the way that we relate to one another and to ourselves. It changes everything. And this picture of God's reconciliation of all things has been forming all throughout Scripture. Since Genesis 3, God has been on a mission of reconciliation, drawing the world back into relationship with himself, revealing himself as the only way to heal the rupture and find newness of life in a world of death. This is God's heart. Central to who he is. Not just something he wants to accomplish. Missing mission is missing God's heart. So Paul says the good news is that this new way has already happened. It's already been made possible. In Christ, there has been a break from the old, and we have already been declared new creation. The pathway has been paved for the reconciliation of all things. That part of God's heart is being unwound in the world, and it cannot be stopped. But it's still being worked out. And we are entrusted to be his representatives, to be the very ones through whom God's reconciliation is being worked out in the world, representatives of God's heart. So how do we get in on this? How do we get in on God's mission of reconciliation? What we see is that God's mission of reconciliation transforms two things. It transforms the way that we live, and it transforms the way that we see. I'll start with the way that we live and then get to how we see. You see, mission is not a thing that we do or that we don't do. It's not just one of a dozen different church programs that we can pick from. Mission is a way of life. Mission, if we are in Christ, is the life that we live. It's not an advanced placement course for a special set of Christians within the congregation. If you are in Christ, you have been reconciled and have been entrusted as an ambassador, a minister of God's reconciliation, Paul says. The Christian life is the life on mission. Whatever we do, wherever we are embodying. We are embodying the healing of the rupture in Christ. In other words, to be ambassadors means that we carry God's reconciliation with us wherever we go. We are like a movie preview of where God is taking the world. We're like a movie preview of where God is taking the world. Because God is reconciling the world to himself. That is being unwound within the world, in Christ, by the Spirit, and we know where the story ends. We know how this movie plays out. And we are a preview of that. So that means when people look at our life, when they hear us speak, what they're noticing, whether they know it or not, is new creation. What they're noticing is what life is like, how newness and trueness of life is possible in Christ. They're noticing that in us. This doesn't mean that we never make mistakes. Definitely doesn't mean that. But it does mean that there is a distinctness. There is a distinctness that is a sign of how God's healing is being worked out in us and through us. So we're not simply going around trying to get people to believe our own privately held beliefs. Trying to get people to believe the right things about God or morality or politics or whatever. And to stop doing bad things. Instead, as God's ambassadors, we are living as if everything has changed. Because everything has changed in Christ, Paul says. So mission is not just advocating for a different set of beliefs or moral code. And it's not just doing good deeds for others. But mission is living a life set right side up in Christ. Flying right side up. Because without embodying a different way of life, without this becoming who we are and how we live, we're just making moral pronouncements. And the world can tell the difference. They're calling us on it. We cease to be ambassadors, and we become religious salespeople. Are you buying what I'm selling? Living life on mission as Christ's ambassadors means we smell like Jesus. This is an image, an analogy that Paul paints earlier in his letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, as Christ's, we take on his aroma. For some, our life will be a sweet aroma. A sign of the true life that God wants to call them into. They will want to know more about who we are and why we're distinct. But for others, our life will be an odor of death, Paul says. Not because we're yelling at them, but because our life will be a testimony to the reality that they are looking for life in the wrong places. Becoming the aroma of Jesus doesn't happen because we've called out unbelievers on social media. It happens as we embody the reconciliation of all things in Christ. And the thing is, we don't get to decide how people will respond to us. So can we just get over that? We don't get to decide how people will respond to us. Our job is simply to bear the smell of Jesus. God will draw them. God is drawing them. And we see that living on mission as Christ's ambassador is relational. It's personal all the way through. We cannot do this at a distance. We must be present in real relationships in everyday life in order to tend to and to be able to notice the new creation that God wants to work there. And this is because our distinctness as new creatures needs to be noticed over time. It takes time for people to notice it and see how it gets worked out in our life. Because when we're walking alongside people in our contexts, walking with people, inevitably things will fall apart for people, for us and for other people. Inevitably something will hit the fan. Inevitably the rupture will emerge. And this is that key place. When the rupture emerges, when it emerges in our own life or in someone else's life, what do we do? Loss of job, death, divorce, crisis of finances, general malaise. What do? If it's happening to us, we continue to embody God's healing, His reconciliation. If it's happening to those with whom we're walking alongside, we walk alongside them patiently and invite them to see how God is inviting them into the healing of the rupture in their life. We must be present to people in order to witness to the reconciliation because it just takes time. And it takes time to be able to notice where the rupture exists in people's lives. Because if we don't know where it exists, we can't speak to it. We can't witness to it. So it takes time for us to learn this. Which brings me to my second point, is that God's reconciliation transforms how we see. It transforms how we see the world, because what's happening is that we're learning to notice. We're learning to see with new eyes, not just all the bad stuff, but where God's reconciliation and His new creation is breaking forth and what it looks like when it does. And this is really important because some of us, and myself included in this, are really good maybe at like stating the four spiritual laws, but we have no idea what reconciliation looks like. We have no idea how it gets played out in our life. So when we see people, when we notice people who seem to be far from God, what do we see? What do you see? Are you able to compassionately notice and name the rupture in their life? Can you see beyond their bad choices to what God sees? A person who is hurting, who is in need of the same healing that you are experiencing? And do you have a vision for new creation? Do you have a vision for what this looks like? A vision for the direction that God is taking the world in Christ? Remember, we are not going out and making reconciliation happen. It's already happening. God is doing it. We're not going out and making it happen. We're going out and bearing witness to where it's already happening in people's lives. Pointing it out, witnessing to it, helping them see how God is healing them and drawing them to Himself. So we're not just learning to see the bad stuff only, right? We're learning to see where God's kingdom is breaking forth, where God's Spirit is at work, new eyes, new reality. I've seen this life of mission play out in a young woman's life who I know. She herself has experienced God's reconciliation. She knows what it's like to experience God's healing and is still experiencing the healing of all the ruptures in her life that have created separation. And by the Spirit's prompting, she started walking alongside another woman who was far from Jesus. Started developing relationship with this woman, listening to this woman, spending time with her, being present with her and to her. And what happened over time is that this woman began to notice her distinctiveness. She began to notice that there was something different about her quality of life and the way that she dealt with her ruptures. And eventually, the woman's ruptures herself started to become apparent. She started to reveal to my friend where the hurt was in her life, and she began to ask my friend, "What do I do? What do I do about this?" And so my friend just began to point to the healing that she has experienced, the ways that God is already working reconciliation in her life, and slowly is inviting this woman to experience the reconciliation for herself. This is it, friends. You can do this. If you are in Christ, you were gathered into this, and God has entrusted you to join him, to participate with him in this. Where is he working reconciliation in your life today? Where is it happening? It is. It is happening. That's the good news, is that it is. In your school, where is it happening? In your office, in your family, in your neighborhood. Where's the rupture? Where is God working his reconciliation? And how is he inviting you to be his ambassador there? To be a movie preview of where and how he is drawing the world to himself? The thing is, the neat thing is about our service is that what we do in here is not different from what we do out there. As we come in here, and as we hear the word proclaimed and come to the table, God's reconciliation is formed in us. Every Sunday, we come and have the reconciliation of God in Christ formed in us. Every time we come to the table, that's what's happening. It's being formed in us. And so we're now being sent out to be ambassadors of that. So as you respond this morning, here in a few minutes, and come to the table, just bring wherever you are. Invite God's reconciliation to become more and more clear to you. Ask that his heart would continue to be your heart. That you would continue to catch a vision for what it looks like to embody the healing that he's already working in your life. Or maybe you just simply need God's healing in your life this morning. You've never experienced it or need it more. Come and receive that too today. So may we be a people living on mission, entrusted with God's mission of reconciliation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.